Whether you're aware or not, there's a lot of prayer that goes into service. Prayer beforehand, prayer during, and prayer afterwards for great things. If you ever want to meet with us Sunday mornings at 8:45, there are some of us who meet in the small conference room next to the office, and we spend some time especially praying for service and praying that God's message will come to all of us, and that we will come and understand what God's asking us to do and how God's asking us to reach out. So the invitation is open to you anytime you want to come. Would love to have you come and spend some time in prayer. We spend about 15 minutes. I normally bring oftentimes something from Scripture, and then after that we spend some time in prayer. So would love to have you. Those of you that have not had a chance to meet Gabby, I hope that you will take the opportunity to meet her and spend some time talking with her. She was here last week with us, and I didn't ask her beforehand if I could call her out. So I'm real hesitant to do that without talking to people. So I hope that you will take some time to talk with Gabby and spend some time with her, and get to know her a little bit better. It's Michael's wife, and we are so happy to have you here. And it was a joy to have you with us this morning for prayer time. That was a great blessing. So thank you very much. Gracias. Today we're going to be talking about the scripture from Luke chapter 5. And before I read it, I just want to let you know, these are words that God has used in my time, in my life, time and time again, this particular scripture. And once again, as I come back to it one more time, God seems to be speaking a little bit more to me, and I've gained a little bit more understanding about these verses. So listen to these verses. It's a story from Jesus' life. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the net for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled their boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for from now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. I've told you before, I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay. Chesapeake Bay is a wonderful body of water, and it acts a little bit different than the ocean. And I will always remember my times growing up there. But it wasn't, I must be honest with you, I guess about 8 or 9, my parents enrolled me in swim lessons. I guess they thought since we only lived about a half a mile off the beach, it would be a good idea that all of us knew how to swim. My dad is a tremendous swimmer, and my mother is not. And so they decided that it was time for us to learn how to swim. And I remember going to a local pool to learn how to swim and get all the lessons on how to swim. And one day, the instructor said, "We think you're good enough to jump off the diving board." I jumped off the diving board in probably about 8 foot, 10 foot of water. And I want to be honest with you, it did not look like I was ever going to come to the surface. I can still look up and see the surface of the water, and I didn't think I was ever going to make it. So I kind of panicked. Well, not kind of. I did panic as I came to the surface, and they had to pull me out. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I ever went back for swimming lessons after that day. I probably did, but I don't know that I did. I don't remember it. I blocked that out of my mind if I did. Now travel with me about 10 years through my life until I'm 18, 19. And I'm working at a scout camp as a nature instructor in the Nature Lodge. It was common during the week at a Boy Scout camp to get a lost swimmer's call. And when that happens, you drop what you're doing and all the staff runs to the lake as quick as you can get there, because it means that someone's lost in the lake. Now, I want to let you know that we never lost a swimmer. Here's what happens. They come in on Sundays and we give them a swim test. And we find out what their ability is on Sunday afternoon. And they're given this nice little round tag that then is color-coded with different colors so that we know what kind of swimmer they are. And when they check into the swimming area, they take their nice little tag off the board that says they're not there and put it on the board that says they're there swimming that day. And as it would happen, young kids forget to move their tag off the board that says they're swimming back to "I'm not here." And they stop. We would stop every 10 or 15 minutes and we would do a count to make sure we had everybody. So you count, one person counts all the tags that are on the board and a couple of people count all the swimmers. And when the numbers don't agree, you've lost somebody. 99% of the time, it's because some young kid forgot to take the tag off the board and put it on the other board, and he's back at his campsite laying on his cot just relaxing, and we're all in the lake trying to find him. Well, one gentleman who was in charge of the waterfront the first year I worked there, he watched me and he saw that I was ready to get in the water and find anybody who was lost. And he recognized that I knew how to swim, although I couldn't pass a swim test, because I was too scared to get in the water, especially water where I couldn't touch the bottom. So after one of these lost swimmer calls, he got me off to the side, and he had become a friend of mine, and he explained to me in very simple terms that I was going to take my swim test. And I explained to him that I was not going to. And he explained to me that he was a fourth degree black belt, and he explained that it was more dangerous for me not to take the swim test. And I believed him. And I jumped in and swam my 100 yards and got out. And he looked at me and he said, "You are such a good swimmer that I want you down here on the waterfront all next week. We'll find somebody to take your position in the Nature Lodge next week. And I'm going to teach you how to be a lifeguard." And the next 2 years, I worked as a lifeguard on a lake at a Boy Scout camp. Loved every minute of it. Am I still fearful of water that I can't touch the bottom? I call it now a deep respect for water where I can't touch the bottom. I love being in the water. And as I worked as a lifeguard, every other week, the Boy Scouts have a badge that you can get a patch for swimming a mile at one time. And every other week as a lifeguard, I would swim a mile. One week I'd be on duty while other people swam, and the other week we would get a chance to do it ourselves if we wanted to. I've overcome some of the fear, but I also understand how people have a great fear for deep water. I pulled many a young kid out of the lake, especially on their swim test. A 12 and a 13-year-old boy does not want to let his peers know that he can't swim. And I have found out what peer pressure will do. They will jump in the water even when you explain to them they can't touch bottom. I still remember one little kid. He jumped in. And I identified him as he came down the dock. This kid can't swim. After a couple of weeks, you can just see it. You can see the look on their face, and you know they can't swim, but they're not going to tell anybody. And this young kid jumped in. He couldn't have been much taller than 3.5 foot tall. And I explained to him, this is 12 feet of water here. And he jumped in, and that was the last time I saw him. Until I jumped in and went down to the bottom, where he was just standing, just as comfortable as could be. And I pulled him out, and I put him on the dock. And I looked at him, and I said, I thought you told me you could swim. And I will never forget his words. Well, I can swim, but I can't touch bottom here. You see, I have a deep respect for deep water. But in this case, Jesus asked them to go out into the deep water. Jesus asked them to move from where they were and get out into the deep water. As a fisherman myself and growing up on the Chesapeake Bay, that is not where you catch fish, in the deep water, unless you're going deep sea water fishing. Okay? That's not where you catch fish. You catch fish in the shallows. You catch fish in the shade. My uncle and I fished most of my high school every weekend. We didn't go for bass. We didn't go for the big fish. We just went for panfish. And we wanted to catch a whole stringer of them. And if we didn't catch three or four in the first half an hour, 45 minutes, especially if it was raining and cold, we came home. You see, the deep water is not where you catch the fish. But Jesus says, Peter, Simon Peter, I want you to take this boat out to... And Peter says, Lord, I can almost hear Peter in his head, because there's some words he didn't say. I can hear him in his head going, Lord, I've never seen you on this lake fishing. I've never seen you about fishing. And now you're going to instruct me how to fish. And see, we've been fishing all night in the cool of the night. All night we've been fishing. And we haven't caught anything. And now you're telling us to move out into the middle of the lake where you don't catch fish, in those deep waters, and throw the net out and hope we catch something. By the way, their boats were probably at least about 20 or 30 foot long. We're not talking about a little canoe or a kayak. Peter says, well, you said to, we're going to try. And they start hauling that net in, and there's more fish than they can fit in the boat. Okay? The boat is probably as long as one of these pews and 6 or 7 foot wide. And they can't fit all those fish in that boat. He calls the other boat out, and they can't fit all the fish in two boats. Now, they've been fishing all night, and they didn't catch anything. In one cast of the net, They've caught enough to almost sink two boats. And they come into shore, and Peter says, "Lord, I'm not worthy to be in your presence." And Jesus says, "Hey, don't worry about it. From now on, you're going to catch people, not fish." And one of the most amazing things, I don't know how many fishermen you know, I've never seen a fisherman do this. Get up and walk away from an awesome catch. And just leave it behind. Can you imagine what the people on the shore were doing? "Oh my gosh, we don't have to fish for a couple of weeks. Look at, they left all this behind." Something more important was going on. I've told you that God has used the scripture in my life a time and time again to teach me about things. You know, folks, it's about moving into the deep waters of faith. For you see, splashing on the shoreline, it's good for a while. Splashing on the shoreline is good for a while, isn't it? We get in the edge of the waters, and the waters feel cool, especially on a hot day, and we don't mind splashing that on upon ourselves, but we particularly like being able to stand on something, don't we? You ever watch people when they go to the beach? You don't see many people far enough out to just be swimming. They're right there in the edge of the water, and that's pretty much where they stay. Some of them stay there because, you know what, there's some scary things underneath that water, and I don't know what's there, and it might grab a hold of me, and I can't go out much further because it might grab a hold of me and pull me under. I've never met those things, by the way. But some people are scared to do anything but splash in the shore. The coolness of the water is nice, but they're not going to move from that spot. The deeper waters means that there's more than we can see and understand. Right? The deeper you go in the water, there's more. There's stuff that you can't see. There's stuff that you can't understand. If you're scared of the deep water, I'll tell you to go to the backwoods of Maine. I can still remember my time in the backwoods of Maine, even camping with my family as a teenager. Seriously. You could throw a penny in some of the lakes, and 12 foot down, you can still see it. The water is so clear that you can still see it 12 foot down without a problem. I didn't like fishing up there. It was no fun because you put your hook in and you just watch. There was no guesswork about when the fish bite the hook. You look down there and you watch. Yep, got that one. You watch them all gather around the net, around the hook, and they're all swimming there, going, "No, you. It's your turn. You bite it this time." It was no fun. I'm used to that guesswork of fishing and. Yeah, got it. You see, folks, there's things down there we're not sure about when we get out into the deep waters. But here's what I'm going to tell you. There will be dangers, but there's also potential for great growth. There is also potential for great growth. For you see, when you get out from the shoreline, you got to do much more to stay afloat. You got to do much more to be able to manage what's going on. And God wants to provide that help for you. And God wants you to learn and understand what's in the deeper waters, not just on the shoreline. Not just on the shoreline. And as I'm telling you this, I'm thinking about my grandmother. Oh, I'm so thankful for having her and growing up. They lived on the edge of the lake. You go across the lake and you go over the sand dune, and there's the beach on the Chesapeake Bay. And I still can remember my grandma. All right, y'all go out and have fun, but don't get wet. And trust me, you get one foot in the lake. Oh, she was out that door. I told you. And she'd let us go walk down on the beach as we became teenagers. But she never wanted us off the shoreline. Never. Folks, there are so many people that live on the shoreline of our faith. And they never venture out into the deeper waters to find out what's there. They never venture out to find out how God wants to work through them. They never venture out to find out about the great growth that they can have in their lives. They never venture out to find the deep things of faith. They splash in the edge of the waters. And I've also learned that as you moved out into the deeper water, that there are parts of your life that have got to be left behind. There are parts of your life that have got to be left behind. Now, I will admit, as a Boy Scout, we had to learn how to swim with our clothes and boots on, and how to get them off and inflate both our shirt and our pants to use as life preservers. Yes, it does work. Yes, it does work. It doesn't work the best, but it does work, and it can save you. And we had to learn how to do that. Never know when you might fall in the water. You could fall in a puddle on some of the streets around here, and you need a life preserver. Maybe you know about where I'm talking about. But folks, sometimes you got to leave those things behind. And sometimes the things that we use in the midst of the shore and in the midst of the shoreline, they've got to be left behind. The disciples left behind two great boats, an incredible catch of fish, all of their nets, and they said, because I'd rather follow Jesus than all that stuff. They set it behind and they left it behind. And sometimes the great catch that we get has got to be left behind also. One of the last things that I continue to learn, and God continues to show me over and over again, the deep waters will be of great benefit to other people's spiritual walks. If you're willing to get out into the deep waters of faith, it will be a benefit to other people's spiritual walks, not just yours. It's great for me as I swim around in the deep waters of faith and try to understand from people throughout Christian history what they learned about God and how I can take those things into my life. But guess what? It also benefits you when I do those studies. It also benefits you when I do those studies. So if I'm not willing to get out into the deep waters of faith, it doesn't hurt just me. It's going to hurt you too. And if you're not willing to move away from the shoreline, it's going to hurt other people too. Because remember, I've talked about we're a community of faith. We're a community that works together in one body. And when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. When one part of the body learns some incredible things about faith and about the deep waters of faith, it benefits the whole body of Christ. When you spend time in your scriptures and meditating upon those scriptures, it does not benefit just you. It benefits your family. It benefits your friends. It benefits the community of faith that you have joined and are part of. And it benefits people outside of that community as they meet you. The life of faith is not just about you. The life of faith is about us. The life of faith is about the community that God's called us to reach. I'm asking you to think about move out into the deep waters. The places where you can't touch bottom. Those that I lead in Bible studies and small group studies with books, they often tell me, Pastor, you picked a book too hard. Pastor, this is too difficult. Pastor, can we pick something easier next time? I'm like, nope. You've got to reach further. You've got to go deeper. When I'm willing to say I'm not going to do that is when I'm going to stop growing as a Christian. You've got to go past what you understand. You've got to read things that you can't grab a hold of from people in Christian history. You've got to spend time in the scriptures where you say, I just don't get it. You've got to go deeper in the faith if you're going to grow. So many people I see come to church and they don't even know their Bibles. And I wonder, what have you been doing in church all these years that you don't know your scriptures? You see, folks, there's so much out there. And time again, God continues to call me, Tim, go deeper. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's not your comfort zone. Go deeper. The benefits are incredible, not only for me, but for all of those who come in contact with me. And the same is true for you. So I'm going to leave you with this question. Will you only stand in the spiritually shallow waters? Or will you follow God's call into the deep waters? It's your choice. Are you going to stand only in the spiritually shallow waters? Or will you follow God's call into the deeper waters? Because God's calling us to move there too, not just the first disciples. Let's pray. Lord, if nothing else, this is scary. This is very scary. We like our comfort zones and we like where we are. And for some of us, we've been in the comfort zone for many years. We continually are challenged by you, but we don't move from there. We hear the call and we say the waters out there look beautiful. We hear the call and we say how wonderful it would be to be a person of faith that could be out there on the deep waters and enjoying what's there. And yet we stay in the same place. Lord, help us to leave the boats behind. Help us to leave the fish behind. And help us move out into the deep waters, where we truly can be people who catch people for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.